You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Michael K. is on the radio today. And he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K. Show.
Michael K. is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Ah, yes. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a Thursday. It is 2-2-2-2-4, February 22nd, 2024. Yeah. Michael and Peter in studio and at the rock, solid as a rock. It's Don LaGreca.
Strong. That's a
because
strong.
Don's calling the play-by-play for tonight's Rangers-Devils matchup. As the Rangers try to what? Make it, Don, 9 in a row?
Trying to make it 9 in a row.
Wow. Haven't lost since the All-Star break.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they won their last game before the All-Star break, and they've have not lost since. And today is a pretty significant day.
Why?
Not only is it the 44th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice, but it's also Nancy's birthday. So happy birthday to
happy
my lovely
birthday
bride, Nancy.
To the great Nancy. So she probably is so chapped right now. You're not even taking her out for a birthday. You're working instead.
Well, it's Thursday, so we probably would have held off any kind of extravagant dinner or anything until the weekend. Now, I've got Rangers Flyers at 3 o'clock. I'm doing the pre and post for that on Saturday, so that frees up Saturday night. So we'll probably do something, some dinner over the weekend.
Beautiful. Happy birthday, Nance. Good person putting up with Don.
You kidding me?
A lot of pressure on Don these last two games.
Go ahead.
Because the Rangers have not lost. So,
and that streak started pre-dawn.
Right, started pre-dawn. So he did win on Tuesday.
Right.
But if he doesn't win today, it's all on him.
Well, I'm sorry,
that's the way
but,
it is.
You know, the streak started with me. I called that game in Ottawa before the All-Star.
Wait, really?
You know
what?
That's good.
It started with me.
Oh, my God.
Not that he keeps track of this stuff.
But he does.
Of course, you try to keep track of when things begin and end, right? That's the way life is.
But you don't take credit, you're saying.
No, I have nothing to do with it.
I think you have a lot to do with it. There's a vibe. There's an energy. You bring that to the party when you're doing the play-by-play. You don't bring it the same way when you're doing the pre and post.
Well, I've been told by people. Alan Hahn told me that the Knicks coaching staff keeps score on who's calling games when we win.
So what's your record with the Knicks?
6-1.
Wow.
Six straight. The last six games I did.
You already just said?
What?
He just gave the doubleheader number again. The Yankees have had seven doubleheaders this season. What do you think the record is in those?
No, he said 6-1 in seven games.
Can someone play the drop? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
The Yankees have played
seven doubleheaders this year, Don and Peter. That's 14 games. What do you think their record is?
6-1.
But there was logic behind that.
Total logic. I get the logic. You were right.
They won six of the seven doubleheaders. I swept six. That's what I thought.
And you were right, Don. By the way, I've entered day three of trying to log into the Disney computers. The national nightmare continues. If you guys only knew what was happening up here to the three of us, it's a comedy of errors.
It's like they don't want us to be part of the family. And I, you know, just lift the curtain a little bit. The other day, and I don't have that much time in the day.
No.
Free time. I spent 3.5 hours with what they call the help desk. No help at all. It should be the no help at all desk. Nothing was done. Nothing. To the point that I started to raise my voice, and I felt bad because this person in another country, they don't, it's not their fault that the system is built like Fort Knox.
But like, how I know a lot of people work at Disney. But is it so many that they can't just like have an office here in New Jersey where everyone...
You probably don't have to pay as much if somebody's out of the country.
You're making a great point right now.
Right.
But now it's so hard to have the conversation. They're so far removed from what we do. I'm not even talking about the language barriers that exist. I'm talking about also when they're saying, who's your leader? They say that. The question is...
And I heard you say Joe Biden.
I said President Biden. And I went, how specific do you want to go? John Winthrop? Justin Craig? We can go all the way up
Natalie.
To... Natalie? Bob Iger? How high do you want to go here?
Right.
Well, I'm not doing it.
I said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not doing it.
And here's my motivation. Well, sports radio started in what, 1987?
Well, the incarnation now. I mean, John Sterling and Bill Mazur were doing it before then.
Bill Mazur and
Art Russ
Jr., sports talk. I listened to that religiously when I worked at the pharmacy back in the mid-80s.
Dealing drugs?
In a sense, yes, but not in the way you mean. But the drugs were sold at the drugstore, yes.
See?
I don't think Art Russ Jr. had the internet, and he did fine. So, you know what? I'm good.
Now, I've got some tough personal news.
Uh-oh.
And I found out about it 2 minutes before we went on the air. I have a sty in my right eye, and it is killing me.
It hurts?
Oh, it hurts.
Well, how'd you find out 2 minutes before you
because
went on the
air? Because I, you know, really lifted up. I was putting makeup on, and I moved the makeup across my lower lid, and I said, wow, that really hurts. And then it's a sty. So
where's the redness?
Okay.
What?
I don't see it.
It's like...
It's underneath?
It's in, yes, underneath.
So you can diagnose yourself. You're a doctor now.
Well, is that or a tumor? So I'm going to go with a sty.
There's a lot of things going on with eyes in the show right now.
Yeah.
I told the doctor yesterday, I get sty sometimes. Right. She recommended, she said there's a medicine you can recommend. It just comes from some basic thing in your lid. It's not a big deal. You're fine.
You were searching for lid?
The word lid?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember lid.
Wow. We all have some issues.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Well, what about yesterday when I asked her, I thought that, this is how dumb I am. I thought there were three kinds of doctors. I thought there was an ophthalmologist.
Mm-hmm. Optometrist.
Sorry. I thought there was an optometrist, an ophthalmologist.
Right.
And an ophthalmologist. Not realizing it's just people pronounce it differently.
Interesting.
That's troubling, no?
We should change the rules of the game here on the show. Because if we could somehow have a retroactive point guard, Peter would win it.
Yeah.
Because Rick Pitino, after doubling down, decided to fold his hand and say he was wrong and apologize.
Here we go.
And I think it was his wife who told him, hey, you were wrong.
You want to hear him?
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
I went home, talked to my wife, and came back, and I said to my staff, anybody, guys, any of them upset? I said, a couple of feelings are hurt. So I immediately went in the team and told them, I absolutely love you guys. I would never, ever want to embarrass you, but it's my bad. I'm at fault. I should have never mentioned to anybody by name. I didn't mean it. I was trying to talk typical clinic talk like I do. The slowest player in the league of the NBA is Jokic. He can't move laterally. Some of the greatest players I've coached can't move laterally. So I didn't think that's a big deal, but I should never, ever mention a name. I'm a veteran coach. I tell every young coach in the business, show class when you win, show class when you lose, give the other team credit. I've been really, really frustrated this year for a lot of different reasons. But understand something. I recruited this man. I recruited this man. My staff did not recruit these guys. It was all me. And I'm really, really proud to have them. But I totally apologize to them for doing that.
Well, you know what? If somebody apologizes, they apologize. You have to let them up.
I guess.
You have to. What do you mean you have to? You're the king of sorry doesn't fix the lamp.
Well, what are you going to do? Fire him?
I think there has to be some time limits to it. I mean, he doubled down on it. And then 3 days later, he finds religion because he spoke to his wife. The players are going to do what they're going to do, I wouldn't accept the apology. It sounds fugazi to me. You had a chance. Now, if the next day you come back and say, you know what, I was frustrated, whatever, but he doubled down the next day, almost offended that he even have to explain himself, and then a couple of days after that, I spoke to my wife, and then blah, blah, blah. No. They could do what they want. If I were one of those players, I'd be like, you know what? Stick it where the sun doesn't shine. I don't accept your apology.
I love what Don's doing, though. I don't know if I see it the exact same way. I thought it actually sounded heartfelt.
Right.
I hear what he's saying about how he sees the bad lateral movement as sort of a clinical thing, not like a big insult. I kind of believe him.
Yeah, but he also did say, you just recruited these guys, right? You did, as he said. And this is miserable he's been in his entire coaching career.
Yes.
And that's after those
It was
kids.
A lot of tough
And
things,
he also he said he's been trying to teach him a bounce pass for 2 months and they're not getting it. So that wasn't the only insult that he threw out there about the lateral movement. So, no, I think there's enough there to say, you know what, I'm not going to accept your apology.
Now, I'll tell you this. We have put in for Rick Pitino today. Do you think he wants to face the music on the K-Show? I don't know.
My guess would be no. Although, he is Rick Pitino, okay? And he's a huge star in sports. But I wouldn't put it past us that our crushing of him the other day had some impact here.
It's a pretty local, self-important, aren't you?
No, it's just that let's be realistic.
Well, Mike Vaccaro ripped him, too, in the post.
Yeah, true. I'm saying part of it.
Yeah.
I think we did the right thing.
I think the pylon got him. It became like an 8-car crash.
Right, but see, now do I think that makes him a bad guy? No. Bad coach? No. But as far as like accepting the apology, Michael, just think about if I had wronged you in some way.
Right.
All right. And I don't, and you're upset, and I don't apologize the next day. I double down, and then 3 days after that, I come in and say, you know what? I spoke to Nancy, and Nancy kind of, you know, told me that I was wrong, so I apologize. There's no way you're accepting that apology.
But Don,
you'd be like, you had a chance to apologize, you slept on it, you doubled down, and now because your wife is making you feel guilty, now you're apologizing to me. I've known you for over 20 years, Michael. You would not accept the apology.
But you also realize that I'm damaged goods. I belong in some kind of facility, so you can't compare everybody to me.
So just the fact that you say you're sorry, that's enough. It doesn't matter how long you have to wait for the apology. Doesn't matter how many times you double down. Doesn't matter that somebody else had to talk you into doing it. Every apology is equal.
No,
is what you're saying.
It's not. I'm just saying that. What are you going to do? I mean, if you're the players, you could probably still hold it against them. I'm not saying that. But the guy did eventually come around to where he should be. I was wrong what I did.
But here's how I would take it. Hey, listen, I got to accept your apology. I'm playing for St. John's. You're not wrong about what you said. I don't know if I've got an NBA future. I'm trying to make it work here. I have to accept your apology. But I don't have to trust you again. I don't have to. It's definitely going to affect the relationship, I would think.
It does. So, it does come out what type of coach he is behind the scenes, because the kid on West Virginia that played for him for Iona last year, the name is escaping me. You know, he told a story. He said, you know, I made a mistake in practice. He came up to me. He said, I'm going to cut you into 8 pieces and send you back piece by piece to wherever you come from.
Oh, my God.
And the guy said, kind of held back laughing. I mean, yeah. The coach said that to me.
I know.
So, I mean, but that's how college coaches are when college coaches had all the power.
Right.
Now that power is really not the same.
Nope.
Because that player, like the guy from Iona, he went and transferred to West Virginia. You don't have to wait a year like you used to in the past. That's why coaches hate that, because, you know, they don't have all the power anymore. They used to be able to take a job without skipping a year, but every time you transfer, you had to skip a year. Not anymore, but it was a good day for St. John's. Mike Rapole, I might be pronouncing his name wrong, the guy who invented vitamin water and is a billionaire, St. Rapoli. John's grad. Rapole, thank you. He said that he was going to give them 7 figures this year for the NIL. He said, and there's not one donor in any of the biggie schools that will give more than me.
Well, that's not nothing.
What a weird, can I just be honest? When you, like, stop and talk about the NIL stuff, even though I'm all in favor of
kids
getting money, it feels dirty. It feels so dirty.
Well, it's professional sports now.
But it's it is professional sports based on who feels like giving more money.
And it's good for the athletes that they're not getting used anymore, but the all-encompassing athlete, does it benefit them? Because not everybody is making the same amount of money, number one. Number two, now you're going to have small market, big market. There are going to be some schools that just are not going to be able to compete anymore, because they just don't have the money that some of the other bigger schools do. So you look at Alabama, that's a perennial winner. They're going to get pulverized by Texas. You know how much more money Texas has than Alabama?
Yeah.
So does that sound fair, that's the way it's going to go now? And now, from a rooting standpoint, it's going to be the same teams every year that are going to have a chance to win. There's not going to be as many underdog stories because not everybody's on the same footing. They never were all on the same footing, but they were a little bit more equal than this now. So the guys that get benefit, you're right, Peter. The big-time athletes, the guys that are going to go first overall, they won't be taken advantage of for a handful of years. But the all-encompassing college basketball athlete, are they going to benefit from this?
It's just an odd situation to me.
Well, the thing that started the whole thing with players getting paid was the Ed O'Bannon suit about the video games.
Oh, sure, the UCLA vehicle.
Did you see what happened today? So EA Sports putting out a college football one next year. You know what they're offering every player? $600 and a free game.
What?
If I every player in college would go, no, I'm good. Because with NIL, $600 is nothing.
It's a joke.
They're offering $600. Imagine how much money EA Sports makes on the college football game. And imagine if every single guy who played in college football said, no, you can't use my name. All of a sudden, you got guys with blank faces and no numbers running around. $600 is what they came up with?
That's wild.
But that's how it was previously?
That's how the game was. You weren't allowed to have any names. It was number 14 Michigan quarterback.
Yeah, well, then do it again.
And by the way, back in the day...
It was great.
I didn't enjoy it that way. That always bothered me.
I loved the game, though.
Yeah, but it always bothered me when I was a kid playing. I don't know about you, Don. I'd always be annoyed when the college games didn't have players. I was going to have to pretend who this is.
Yeah, especially when the pro ones did. It was crazy. But why couldn't there be a happy medium? Like, I agree that if a player's, you know... should get a piece of the jerseys that they're selling or their likeness or whatever. But now when you start to negotiate actual contracts and millions of dollars are exchanging hands, it just seems like it's gone from one extreme to the other. And I think it's going to hurt a lot of big-time programs aren't going to be able to compete anymore. And there's going to be a lot of kids who, you know, whose dream is to win a national championship, and there's only going to be a handful of places you're going to be able to go to do it.
Now, today's one of those days where our viewers on Yes should be very happy that I'm not Pat McAfee. Standing up, because I am so excited. Baseball started today. The first baseball game is on. Dodgers and the Padres.
What are you suggesting?
No, he's taking what you want.
That he's visibly excited by what's happening here.
Dodgers Padres.
That's what excites you?
Live right now on ESPN.
Well, they have to get going because they're going to be playing overseas, and nobody's going to care.
In Korea.
Man, so stupid.
What? Everything's stupid to Don.
Well, because it's stupid because it's our pastime.
So you don't want to share it with the world?
No, but it's going to start like 10 days before the rest of the regular season starts.
It's about
these
a
games
going to
be played, and nobody in the country is going to care, Peter. People are going to think they're actual exhibition games and not realize that they count. It's stupid.
Dodgers and Padres fans will care. You get to see Ohtani for the first time in a real game. Yeah. And maybe stupid. Yamamoto pitches one of those games in Korea. So,
stupid.
Speaking of pitching,
mm-hmm.
Mets didn't get great news on Senga. He's going to be starting the season on the IL. So there is something hinky about his shoulder.
Wait.
Not just shoulder fatigue.
It feels like it's more than hinky.
Yeah.
I think hinky's the wrong word.
Well, what word did you use? Disastrous?
He's injured.
Well, he is. But
that's not hinky. He's out on the IL to start the season. That's 6 weeks away.
Yeah, what is it? Is it something with the capsule? I saw capsule, but...
I'll get the official word from David Stearns.
But David Stearns, the Mets GM, also said this injury does not impact us going into the free agent market to get any of the pitchers. Do we have that up there, Peter?
I have a few Stearns. Which one do you want?
The update on Senga will give you the...
Yeah, why don't you do the update?
Here we go.
Senga has a moderate right posterior capsule strain, so that's in the back of his right shoulder. He was having trouble recovering from his side sessions. The way he expressed it was really shoulder fatigue, and when it happened a second time, we decided to get an MRI yesterday afternoon. Doctor read the MRI this morning, examined Kodai, and we have this moderate strain in the back of his right shoulder. What this means right now, we're going to shut him down until these symptoms subside and strength returns to his normal level. Once that happens, we can begin to ramp him up and then go through his normal spring training progression. We don't expect him to be ready for opening day. So at this point, we would expect him to begin the season on the IL. How long exactly, I can't tell you right now. We'll get more information on sort of next step treatment options and length of shutdown. And I'm happy to share that with you guys when we have it.
All right. Now, David was also asked, does the Senga injury mean that you'll add somebody in free agency? Here's the GM of the Mets.
It means we're going to ask people to step up, and that's what happens over the course of a baseball season. We knew we were not going to go through a full season with just five or six starters, and so here we are. And we've got plenty of options. I'm looking forward to watching that competition in camp, and I'm confident that we'll have guys step up.
I know you're always looking, always listening, but does this increase the likelihood at all of adding somebody before opening day?
I don't think so. As you said, we're always going to be opportunistic and hear what's out there, but I don't think it really changes our thought process.
Well, he's steadfast, and I would say that when you look at the Met lineup, I think they're fine. Their defense, they're fine. I think they're very, very, very thin starting rotation. So if you lose your number one starter for any amount of time, that's got to be somewhat concerning, but they are dug in to their plan because the guys that are available right now, you know, Montgomery and Snell, those are multi-year signings. They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. But you can't tell me that you feel comfortable, Don, with this starting staff.
But we also don't know how long he's going to be out. Now, if we found out he was done for the year, well, that you're going to have to replace him. I'm sorry. You know, Tyler McGill and Peterson.
Joey Lucchese.
These are guys that you can make. You know, if you tell me that he's going to miss five starts, okay, I'm more than comfortable with those guys making those starts. What would your record be if Senga pitched? I mean, you could still go 0-5 in those games. You know, it depends. I mean, I could fill holes for five starts. I can't fill holes for 35 starts. So I think their appetite not to sign somebody, Michael, is just based on the fact, well, what if he comes back May 1st? So am I going to sign Montgomery? Am I going to go out and sign Snell, and then he comes back May 1st and he's perfectly fine? No, you don't want to do that. So you wait and see. But at some point, if he's going to be out longer than May 1st, if it's June 1st, if it's July 1st, if it's the season, well, then you're going to have to address it. But two reasons. I'm not going to get crazy because we don't know how long he's going to be out. And also, you know, your leverage. You don't want to all of a sudden announce to the world, we need a starter. That's going to really hurt any kind of, you know, negotiating leverage moving forward. So I'm not surprised by his answer at all.
Now, I will tell you this. I think the Mets, I mean, they're putting it out there. You know, we're trying to contend this year. But their actions would indicate otherwise. They're trying to work within the confines of a self-imposed system where they can make a big splash next year or in 2026. So they will, even if he's out for the year, I'm not sure that they would make a move for another pitcher, because internally, they're not expecting to do much this year. They're not. And they're expecting you to buy into their plan, which is to see what the young kids could do, sign pitchers to one-year contracts like they did with Severino and a two-year deal with Manaea. I get it. I understand what they're doing. But this, to me, is a double down on, you know what, we're going to try the best we can this year. And I agree with what Don said. If they're in it, at the trade deadline, maybe they would make a move, but at this point, they're not going to waste their time because they know they're not a great team. They're just not. They're not a great team. Now, one other thing that this is a huge problem that a lot of people in Major League Baseball don't really look at and add much credence to. Pitchers in Japan, they throw a lot more than pitchers in the States. So when you say, well, they've never had injuries, well, that means that they will. So Masahiro Tanaka, who was a great pitcher for the Yankees.
Not good.
He pitched April of his first year. And all of a sudden he had a slight tear of the UCL. That's what they're doing. They throw a lot there. So, that's the flip side of not throwing enough here. Senga last year, a guy used to pitch once a week in Japan. All Japanese pitchers pitch once a week. He threw 28 starts. You think that this might be a manifestation of pushing his arm to a place that had never been before? That's my biggest fear with Yamamoto. And I think the Dodgers probably factored that in. And the fact that he's 25 years old, they go, okay, whatever's wrong with him, we'll fix it. And we still have him for 8 years. But that is a genuine concern. Just because you didn't get hurt in Japan, now all of a sudden, although they move heaven and earth to give you extra rest when they can, Senga still pitched 28 starts instead of the normal 32. These things are going to crop up with pitchers from Japan. They just are. And I don't think Major League Baseball cares enough about it. I don't know why they don't.
Well, I think you said they threw a lot in Japan.
They throw so many pitches. And even in high school, they'll throw 180 pitches.
Oh, per start. So I think
even if you're not hurt, your arm is wearing down. They let them throw pitches there that they don't let you throw pitches here. So your arm is in a different shape, even if you never got hurt.
Mm. And I just wonder, are they smart enough to know that this was likely going to happen this year? It just, you're not going to know when. And probably feel fortunate it happened now and not in like August and you're in the middle of a pennant race and now you lose them possibly, you know, for the season for a month when, you know, it's past the deadline and there's nothing you can do about it. I wonder if that gets factored in. Because if they know, if you know it, they probably know it and figure out there's a very good chance with the innings that he pitched last year that at some point he's going to get a tired arm and not be able to go. I wonder if that's factored in to their prognosis of or their prognostication of what their season is going to be. Like, I don't know if we can count on Senga for 30 starts because at some point his arm's going to get tired.
All right, so this is the Met rotation before we go to break. Mm-hmm. If you're a Met fan, I'm sorry. You can say, your Yankee boy's telling me this. You can't feel great about this. Their number one starter right now is Jose Quintana. Then Luis Severino, who's an outstanding pitcher when he pitches, but he's been hurt a lot. He's your number two. Sean Manaea is number three. Adrian Hauser is number four. And Tyler McGill is number five. You think that gets you the third wild card? Well, time will tell. Make your move and rise up to Mazda from Bay Ridge Mazda with over 200 new Mazdas to choose from and 0% APR financing available. Now's the perfect time to discover the power, performance, and pleasure that comes from driving a Mazda. Move up today before their exceptional February offers expire. Online buying and at-home test drives available at BayRidgeMazda.com. Bay Ridge Mazda at 9000 4th Avenue in Brooklyn on approved credit. See dealer for details. Ends 229-24.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, so I just ran into a little bit of a problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so first break, I had to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Not a serious go to the bathroom, but go to the bathroom.
It had to happen, though.
Right, but it wasn't like...
I already know where this is going.
It wasn't sitting down. But I had
we followed. We all followed, right. Sure.
And so there's a young lady who's pacing back and forth between the ladies' bathroom and the men's bathroom here on the fourth floor. And I'm going to the men's bathroom, and she cuts me off. She says, "No, you can't." I said, "Oh, I have to." And she said, "It's closed." I said, "I only have to use the urinal." She said, "You can't go in there." I said, "Why?" She said, "We're having issues." I said, "Okay, I get it. I can't just use the urinal. We're having issues." And that's all she said. The only thing I could think of was like a mountain of feces is like on the floor. And then I had to scramble. You know, this building is like Fort Knox. To get to another floor and find a bathroom.
Could be hard.
I did it, though. I'm proud of myself.
What floor do you go to?
I went to the third floor.
You went
to the third.
You went to Fuse.
Yeah, in the free form.
Free form. I'm sorry. That's free form. Right.
I don't know what that is.
No, you free
form. They have a lovely bathroom.
Free
really?
Form. Free form is what used to be ABC Kids, or what was it? That's free form now.
You know, I thought
don't they make a great bra too? Free form.
I don't know about that, but I will say this: I thought what you were going to say was when you were like, "No, I seriously have to go there." The woman grabbed you by the arm, and she went, "What I'm trying to say is, Dave Rothenberg used this bathroom today." I felt like that was where we were going.
No.
It was an easy setup for a Carlin joke. You had a lot staring you right in the face.
Yeah, but I was not in that mood to like even like...
No, you were thinking seriously.
I said, "I got to go." I said, "You know, I'm on the air. I have to go." And that didn't seem it moved the needle at all. She didn't care. I said, "All I have to do is run in and use the urinal." No. She wouldn't let me in. She said it with authority.
I like it.
She
did her job.
Yeah, I didn't yell at her.
Did you ask her if she can help us with signing into her account?
She said, "No, we've got issues."
Holy crap.
That's everybody's excuse here. We have issues. You know, there's a mountain of garbage that's been here since we moved into this
building. Sure, I remember.
And One of the pinhead suits told me, I'll get this taken care of. Still not taken care of. It's been here for 12 months.
For the record, if you saw what I'm dealing with at Hot 97 in the morning,
right,
you wouldn't have the nerve to say anything about what we have here.
Oh, wow.
We are in the nicest radio facility. If one day I was to walk in at Hot 97 and it felt like this, it would be unimaginable. We are literally in the middle of Skid Row. Every day when you get, do you know where we are? We're in the garment district.
Right.
It's like Chelsea. You know where 4040 is?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, it's no more actually, but right. Where 4040 was.
Sure.
About a block and we're a couple blocks over from there. That area in the early hours that I'm there, it's.
But the actual inside facility is awful?
Oh, awful. Awful. Sounds bad. We sound worse at work than we do at home.
Wow.
It's not what you want.
You know, it's
interesting. So respect this place. Respect what we have.
Well, I like this place, actually. I like where it is.
I do, too.
And then they're going to move way down to the south tip of Manhattan. They're building a state-of-the-art building. Can't tell you where. Can't tell you when the move is.
They won't tell us.
They won't tell us. We just know it's southern tip of Manhattan. And I go to myself, why this place is nice, other than the garbage that they won't remove in the front. And then I read something in the Post, you know, they're moving the View and they're moving...
All of it.
And those people are like, hallelujah. I mean, this is a terrible building. There are mice that run... I've never seen any rodent at all here.
Wait, though. There was an article where people were saying hallelujah to leave here?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Like the people at the View, the it's unbelievable. There are mice running under your feet. If I saw a rodent, that's one thing that freaks me out.
Right, you won't stand for infestation. But they're on the ground floor, right? Isn't the View on the ground floor?
Yes.
So they're more likely. If they're on the ground floor at the new place, they could deal with that. And we're in New York,
right?
The ground floor.
Well, I think the new place you're underground.
Oh, it's even worse then.
Yeah.
You're basically it's going to be a tarantula lair.
Tarantula.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd handle that. I'm not big with insects.
Wow.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, I don't think tarantula falls under insects. That's much more than an insect.
Don, is there any way you could push your camera back a little bit? Your face is alarmingly big
face
today.
A screen full of face.
nobody coaches me up.
Well, we are.
I'm doing it for you. No one. Someone should have said something.
You're leaning in like, you know, we're supposed to like examine your nostrils.
I mean, I got a phone here, yes. Let's go. Wake up, Flip.
Okay, that's now. Let's
I sign on. You think somebody had sent a text, Don? I can see the hair in your nostrils. Back up a little bit. It takes you guys on the air to straighten me out.
All right, hold on. Get a little closer. Come a little closer.
No, keep going back.
Now you're too far. Now it looks like you're too far back.
This is what you get. Now where am I? How's this? Is this better?
No, you're too far away.
All right, you want to be around there, stop, and then you want to tilt the camera down a tad.
Oh, my God.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's now we're almost equal.
Yeah. Right?
If you could tilt down a little, but don't worry about it. That's pretty good. We're now pretty good.
Coach
me up.
I've been told that Yes didn't know you had a stand on that would be able to allow you to move.
Oh, so they were trying not to bother.
They sent me the stand.
Along with the cough button.
Nobody coaches me up. So disgusted right now.
So you were a player who wanted to be coached up.
Yeah.
You wanted to be coached
He's
hard,
coachable.
Didn't you, Don?
He's coachable.
Yeah. Wow. That turned into a funny little thing.
I'm just saying, if I'm playing too deep, leave me in. But you talk
no,
to me
you
between
were
innings.
Too shallow.
It's,
yeah, you were,
it's not 255.
You were right behind
335.
You were right behind Volpe.
By the way, that was like Griffin. Right. You know where Don was? Griffin from Connecticut was at bat. Don came all the way. It was Steve Brzezinski. Don was way in on the infield. Take a step back.
Took shots at two really good callers.
They're great guys. Well, Steve doesn't call. He just tweets.
Well, he tweets a lot.
They're both great guys. I just don't see either one being a power hitter. Is that fair?
I think Brzezinski could really punish a baseball.
You think so?
Yeah. He's talking right off a cliff. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to the phones, everybody. Thomas in New Jersey. Thomas.
Oh, boy.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Thomas.
Hi, guys.
I have an idea for a punishment for the picks next year.
Okay.
You take Don's famous 2-liter bottle.
Right.
Fill it with water. Loser takes a shot.
A shot at what?
A shot of it.
The gross marinated water.
You drink?
With the cardboard and everything?
He wants us to drink cardboard.
Yeah. No, just the water.
Yeah, but the water's been already contaminated by the cardboard. And that cardboard was in Don's garage.
I had to fish that out of the recycling, and Mike, you remember, there's still remnants of cheese on the box.
Yeah,
it's in there.
Thomas, thanks for the suggestion.
You get botulism. No. Yeah, that's our punishment. Whoever finishes in third.
Botulism.
He gets botulism.
Well, how do you like the beer today, Peter?
It's slightly less repug than yesterday, which worries me a bit, Don.
You think it might be a payoff?
It could end up working out for him again.
No, I think he would look good with a full beard, but I don't know about the Pusick, though, Peter.
Well, but the thing, this is going to be so interesting. What if he gets it into full beard? Now, here's a question for you.
Right.
In all seriousness, if you grew it out to, you let it keep going.
And
it
looks terrific.
And 3 weeks from now, it looks amazing.
Right.
Two things. One, would you being the broadcaster, if you had a clean but like real beard, would that actually be a problem with yes or no?
I don't know. I would say it, probably not.
If it's well done,
yeah,
and you're
if
on
it's
television,
well kept, yeah. But you know what? I'm gonna be honest right now. Yeah. If it comes in, I look terrific. I'm not shaving it to abuse it.
So that's the next question I was gonna ask is, yeah. Don, should there be like a payout if he gets to the point of it's beautiful, he loves it, and he refuses to go Pusick, that he can buy us out for like a price to charity, like he has a $2,000 buyout. You know, something expensive.
Can I exercise that now? I'll do it now.
Wow.
Because I think you might. What if you like it? When was the last time you tried?
Probably when I was like 30.
Well, it's a different world.
Yeah.
You might like that. Like, you know, so someone told me a couple
years. I do like not shaving.
Well, that part's nice.
Yeah.
And also, you know, like one of the reasons I brought in the beard was that I had a conversation with someone. And they were talking to me about like my career, and I said I want to be on television for a long time. And they said, you know, if you can have a decent beard, it really keeps you young. You're covering half your face
as long as it doesn't go gray. Because Don looks like Methuselah with that beard.
See, that's not true though. Don doesn't even look well. He looks
older because it's gray beard,
but he has gray hair too. Don's got gray everything. But Don, how long have you been gray?
Probably about the last 10 years.
I said, Don, wow. Let me ask you are you gray all over?
Oh, boy.
Huh?
Like chest hair and stuff like that?
God, you're going to make me do it. I'm going to do it because you asked, you know?
You taking your shirt off?
No. My chest hair is gray. I have no back hair.
Right.
The other area where there is hair.
Underarms.
Yeah, sure.
Not a trace of gray.
Really?
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
That is very interesting and disturbing.
Let's go to Sam in Rochester. Sammy.
Michael, Don, and Peter, how are you guys doing?
Wonderfully. How about you?
Awesome. Hey, it is a pleasure to be able to talk to you guys. And Michael, back in, I'm a young fan, I'm only 25, but back in like 2008, I was first starting to watch Yankees. And whenever I was playing Little League, and anytime I'd hit it, I'd whisper, see ya.
I love it.
And that was because of you.
Thank you, Sam. Thank
you. Big fan, man. I'm calling today because I read a lot into the Yankees and I listen to a lot of your guys' shows and all the interviews with Cashman, and I was hoping you guys could tell me if this concern was valid or not. My concern is about Giancarlo Stanton because I think he really is an X factor this year. Because my concern stems from, I'm sure we all remember the exchange Cashman had with a reporter right after the offseason, the pretty bleeping good one.
Yeah.
I actually thought the takeaway from that was, I thought the bigger takeaway wasn't that exchange. I thought it was when, I forget which reporter it was, but he was pressing Cashman. He was saying, like, but yeah, if Peraza had, or Peraza or Cabrera or any of the guys, if they played a little better, they would have had more playing time. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, where are you going to play him? Donaldson's there. And in my head, I'm like, okay, so now I'm looking at Brian Cashman's mindset as no matter how Josh Donaldson plays, because I've signed him to be the third baseman, because I'm paying him $20 million, he's getting the playing time. And I just feel like that's neglecting an opportunity to win day in and day out because they extend the leashes on these guys that they shouldn't. Now, Giancarlo looks good this spring. I do have good faith in him for the upcoming season. But my fear is that come July, if he's hitting like 190.
He's out.
If he's still going to be in there.
He won't be released because there's too much money. He's $98 million for the next 4 years. But he'd be out because by July, you're going to have back Jason Dominguez. And the team would be better with Dominguez in center, Judge in right, Soto as a DH. And I think Stanton knows that If he doesn't perform, he's out. If he hits 190 again, he's out. Then they're trying to win a World Series. They know for sure they have Soto for 1 year. After this year, you have no idea. It's up for grabs. So you've got to try to win this year. So I do not think they'll carry him and continue to put him out there if he's not producing. So, and you also said he's an X factor. One thing I would tell you, Sam, he's not an X factor because I don't think the Yankees have planned for him to be a dominant player. They can absorb him not being good. There are contingencies where they could really, really, really be good even without Giancarlo. Now, if he's great, that's wonderful. But they have contingencies if he's not great. Even before Dominguez comes back, you just put Grisham in center field, who's a plus-plus-plus defender, and you have Soto as your DH. They have contingencies. So when I listed all the people that have to have good years for the Yankees to be good, it's not Giancarlo. He could take them to another level, but in terms of them getting into the playoffs and having a chance, it's Rodon, it's Cortez, it's LeMahieu. Those are guys that have to be good. Stanton, it's a bonus. It's an absolute bonus. Peter, I think it's time now for you to tell us about a car.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, Michael. New York, Peter here for Security Dodge, Long Island's Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Right now, you can lease a new 24 Dodge Hornet RT for only $299 a month with zero down. That's right, $299 a month, zero down, all during the President's Day sales event. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com.
The Dodge Hornet RT is the most powerful compact UV based on 2023 IIHS's compact SUV segment latest available competitive information. Quickest based on 0 to 60 time of 5.6 seconds. Most powerful based on 288 horsepower. Best handling based on 0.9 max G's skid pad vehicle dynamics rating. A weight distribution of 5248 and car and driver dynamics testing.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's Ollie.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, by the way, the Dodgers, you can't beat them. You can only hope to contain them.
Sure.
They're up 8-0 in the top of the second. They scored 8 runs in the top of the first. The $320 million Dodgers.
Wow.
It's all coming together.
Yeah, you know what?
This was the plan, Donald.
I like this team. I think they're really going to go on a run.
Is that your pick?
You can tell in February. I've always said, Don, you know when you pick a winner? About late Feb.
They say you never believe anything you see in March and September. They never say anything about February.
No, exactly. That's a great point, Don.
That's a really astute point. Really is.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dave in Dumont. Hello, David.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
What's up?
Listen, when it comes to the beard,
yep.
I see the stubble coming out.
Sure. That's how it works.
And I'm 64. I started growing my beard around 30, and I used to just grow it during the winter and shave it in the summer. And then my children, my daughters, told me not to. So I left it, and it was kind of patchy, but over time, it filled in. So I would say to you, just give it time. Give it time, and if you've had it before, you know, it'll come in.
Yeah, but Dave, it was hideous before. So that was when I was 30, and it was actually had color in it. Now it's going to be white.
I have to say, we've had a lot of phone calls in the history of this show.
You don't like Dave from Dublin?
I have never heard someone just call up and, with all due respect, I know what he was getting to, but like ramble on about the growth of their beard over the years. It was a...
You should have had a bet of through the years.
Through, Don, come on.
Through the years, you never let me down.
Your beard turned to the ground.
Everything.
The sweetest days I found, with you.
Sorry, yes, went off the air.
Well, yeah, because if we sing for more than 30 seconds, yes, gets hit with a bill. Let's go to Dave in the car. Dave.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
I haven't called you, Michael, since the Kill K segment way back
a long time ago.
That's back before the K couch.
You were a good sport about it, but, man, when that lady said you couldn't call a game right, ooh, man, you got chapped.
Well, you know what? She brought up salient points.
And that woman is now dead.
Wow.
Well, it's great to talk to all of you guys. Real fast, I'm not crazy about the starting rotation of the Mets, even with Cody Sengai. Hopefully I'm saying his name correctly. I'm not crazy about it. So I don't know what the Mets are doing on the season. They missed Yamamoto. Now you got to hurt Cody Sengai. Are they going to make a move? Should they make a move? I mean, I know Blake Snell and the other Yankee pitcher, I can't think of his name, Montgomery, right. But you said, Michael, that if you don't get them in by now, they're going to just blow their arms out. So what do the Mets do?
Dave?
I'm really concerned.
You should be. Their GM said they're not doing anything. And as Don said, we don't know. I mean, Senga could be back the end of April, and then it's no harm, no foul, and he doesn't have to start 28 times. But I just think the Mets are not built to win a World Series this year, and they're not going to change that vibe.
Right, and I don't know if they went out and signed Montgomery and Snell, whether that would be enough to compete with the Braves and the Phillies, never mind, you know, winning a World Series. The other aspect of this, guys, too, we kind of hinted at this with the everyday players, is how do they feel about this rotation? You know, beyond this year. Like, all right, we don't know Hauser. So that sounds like a negative. Maybe he gets a chance to do something. We saw a little bit of Buto last year. Does he get a look now that Senga may miss the beginning of the season? We've seen McGill and Peterson, so we know that they're limited. But are some of the younger guys who might get an opportunity here future affordable pitchers that can be a part of this rotation? So when you sign guys, you'll better yourself in the immediate. But if they believe in some of these guys and want to give them a real look, this could be an opportunity season to do that in.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why they're not dipping into those players. And you know, it would almost be disingenuous as they did, because those players, all of the Snell and Montgomery, probably better than Senga. Senga had a great year last year, but the Cy Young Award winner was Snell. And they wanted to go with the people they had. They didn't want to dip into the money they're going to spend in 25 and 26.
And it's not exactly a comp, but on a different level, because the Yankees were already competitive and they were very high on Volpe. I don't know if any of these young prospects the Mets have are at the level of a Volpe, but you know, the Yankees passed on signing legit star shortstop free agents because they didn't want to landlock a kid that they believed was going to be the next superstar. They didn't need the players as much because they knew they could be competitive, and they would have been, if not for the injuries last year, a lot more competitive than an 82-80 season. But it's kind of similar where, in order for my prospects to play, I need some place to play them.
But as I said yesterday, you're trying to break in three prospects, and the Yankees broke in one with a lot of really good players around them, but then it all fell apart. Very quickly, time for a quick pinstripe report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Our good friend Brian Hoke of the MLB.com vehicle spoke with Hal Steinbrenner today, and he asked the Yankee owner, would the Yankees pay Juan Soto more than Aaron Judge? And Steinbrenner said, I guess that's an interesting question. but not one I've thought about. I'm not sure a judge would care if we got Juan Soto for many years to come. But the market is what the market is, and he's going to cost what he cost. We'll just have to wait and see. That's the right answer. I never understood the idea that was floated. I thought it could be a problem, but I never understood the idea that was floated. The Yankees would not pay Yamamoto more than Cole. Ridiculous. Well, it's all about timing. If you become a free agent 3 years after Garrett Cole, you're going to make more money if there's a market for you. Juan Soto is going to make more than $40 million a year.
True.
He just is, Don.
But there's a difference between him and Yamamoto. Yamamoto never pitched on the major league level before.
Right.
So I could see a level of insult that Cole would be like, listen, I'm a Cy Young Award winner, and you're bringing in a guy that's never pitched in North America before. Soto is an established star with a ring. And he's younger than Judge. So I don't see where Judge would be insulted if Soto ended up making more money.
And Donnie, knowing Cole, he wouldn't have been insulted either. He just wouldn't have been. So I don't know where that came from. There's no way that Garrett Cole would have cared. Because Garrett Cole still would have had more money because he's going to opt out at the end of this year. The Yankees subvert the lockout by giving him an extra year, a 10th year. And then all of a sudden, the value of his contract is more than Yamamoto. So I never thought that was a thing. I just think Yamamoto wanted to play for the Dodgers. He wanted to play in L.A. But if you're going to hold firm, well, nobody could make more than Soto, Judge, or Cole, then you're stuck. Because the market changes, as Steinbrenner said. Because I think Soto's going to get $50 million a year. Somebody's going to give it to him. So if you're going to draw the line in the sand and go, well, nobody could make more than Aaron Judge, then you lost him.
You want to hear from Hal Steinbrenner?
Yeah.
Here he goes. Hal says he could always use more pitching. Hal?
I don't think you're going to have enough pitching, whether it's bullpen or start. Look, we got a great infield. We got a great outfield. I mean, I don't think you'd ever have enough pitching. And I say that every year because somebody asks me the question every year. But we'll see what remains to be done or not done.
You know, it's interesting because all last night, Yankee Twitter was ablaze that they were getting Snell. Now, unless I hear from Jack Curry or Joel Sherman or
Jeff Passan,
I'm not going to. I mean, people that you don't even know, the deal's about to be done. I don't think it's dead. I'd be surprised if they do it, but he's out there without a job. He's out there without a job. So maybe he comes down greatly and they say, you know what, this is a bargain. We'll take him at this money. But, I mean, would, in fact, Scott Boras do that? I'm not sure. Would Blake Snell do it? That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. Knicks play a very important game tonight in Philly.
We're back, baby.
Yeah.
Who's ready?
Yeah, we'll find out, and we'll talk about it when we get back in just a moment. Hey, spring training isn't just for baseball players. It's time for you to get into shape and ready for the warmer weather. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number, locations close by, or available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get ready for spring with njdiet.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.